Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Welcome back to the Munganass St. Louis Honda Sports Open Line.
Munganass St. Louis Honda on South Lindbergh.
On America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
Yeah, outstanding to be back with you, man. Kevin Wheeler here on KMOX, but it's still odd to say that. Odd yet familiar, which is an interesting contradiction. Did this for a strong 7 years, 06 to 13, and after a little break, glad to be back, man. This is good times. Happy to be talking sports with you here on Sports on the Line 2. Kevin Wheeler here filling in for Chris Raby. My man Raves will be back in the seat tomorrow, I believe. He and Kyle McClellan, by the way, will also be on the call of the Cardinals game tomorrow, too, at Cardinals.com and on the MLB.TV app. And the boys doing a great job with that earlier today as well. All right, so you got me for another hour. We've got a lot planned. This is going to be busy, man. In about 9-10 minutes, I'll bring in my friend Mike Farron from MLB Network Radio and talk a bit about the National League, where the what he thinks of the Central. He obviously covers all of Major League Baseball on Power Alley on MLB Network Radio, so plenty of baseball there. I'm going to guess, I'm not really sure where the conversation's going to go with Michael Rappaport. He's at Helium this weekend doing a couple shows on Sunday. He's obviously been an actor for a long time, stand-up comic, and that's obviously where he's performing in Helium. And he's a huge sports fan. And I know he's a really big basketball fan. So I'm just going to tell you right, I don't know where we're going to go with it. He's going to be the one that kind of dictates how it goes. I don't know if you've ever listened to many interviews that involve stand-up comics, but in the last few years, I've done a lot of that. I got some good friends at Helium that have sent some of the folks in to talk when they get the chance. And you can plan all you want, but you're not really sure where it's going to go. So about 7:35-ish, we're expecting the call there. We'll see where it takes us moving forward from that point. Right now, I want to talk about Kurt Flood. I want to start this hour off. A bit of news. It's been brewing all day, but there was a piece that hit the wires a little bit before the start of the show, actually right at the start of the show. And I want to talk a little bit about a really interesting story to me anyway, that you got members of Congress that are pushing the Baseball Hall of Fame to commemorate the 50th anniversary of Kurt Flood's beginning of the fight with Major League Baseball, right? Challenging the reserve clause, with having him inducted into the, or at least selected for induction into the Hall of Fame coming up in December. So December 2020 will be the 50-year anniversary of this. And you've got a couple people. You've got Representative David Trone from Maryland. You got Roy Blunt here in Missouri, and a whole bunch of others that are, I guess you could say, lobbying the Baseball Hall of Fame to find a place for Kurt Flood. And it to me, it's a long time coming. And this is not about putting Kurt Flood in the player. Now, he was a good player. I did not see a single game played by Kurt Flood. His last games played were in 1971, which is the year I was born. So I never saw the man play. I can tell you that when you look at his numbers and how they stack up historically, he was a phenomenal defensive player. Won 7 straight gold gloves, from 63 through the 69 season. So you know that he was an elite player when it comes to that. He's a guy that, you know, had a couple of 200 hit seasons, but his offensive numbers average out over the course of his career to about major league average during that time. So we're not making the case that the Hall of Fame, that the player's numbers are going to get him there. Maybe if he had played another, you know, 5, 6, 7 years, some of the counting stats could have gotten him into the conversation amongst voters at that time. But he never got that chance because of how things went in the fight with Major League Baseball. And I think that this movement is a wise one. This push is a wise one. Look, we just put Marvin Miller into the Hall of Fame, right? Marvin Miller was not a pioneer of the league. He wasn't a league executive, wasn't a former player, but his presence was notable with how the game was shaped moving into the future. And the fact that we just did that for the 2020 inductions would really, I think, be a great kind of lead-in for doing the same thing with Curt Flood. There has been no player who has influenced what Major League Baseball is today when it comes to free agency and player movement and freedom of movement. No one player has done more than the guy that started the whole thing. So I don't know how you want to categorize it, right? Major League Baseball's got all different kinds of categories for people that can go into the Hall of Fame, right? You got people that are considered pioneer contributors. You could put him in that under that guise. You could put him in just as a member of the Golden Days era committee. You've got all these different committees that touch on different eras of the game. But heck, I mean, how could you not look at him as a pioneer in the game? The game is the way that it is today. We have $40 million a year players because Curt Flood started the fight. Because he wrote the letter to Bowie Kuhn and said, look, this is wrong, man. It's just as simple as that. It's wrong. And I think that's an important thing to recognize, right? What's the Hall of Fame about? The Hall of Fame is about telling the history of Major League Baseball. And when we have the very first instance of a player officially going on record and telling the commissioner, I do not feel that I am a piece of property to be bought and sold irrespective of my wishes. And now the players that have played in the eras that have followed that have some of that freedom. Now, they're not entirely free for all that, but they have some of that freedom. I think this is a good time to do it. We just put in Marvin Miller. We're recognizing how the game got to where it is right now and how the players have the freedom of movement that they do now. I think it's time to recognize Curt Flood in that. Right? I mean, it's been past time. Don't get me wrong. This should have happened a long time ago. It should have happened a long time ago for Marvin Miller, too. But since Marvin Miller's going in this coming summer, the summer of 2020, it would be great if you could have Curt Flood announced as a part of the class of 2021 when we get to December of 2020, the 50th anniversary of him sending that letter to Bowie Kuhn. So that was in the news today. I thought it was cool. I wanted to make that point because, I've been arguing it for a long time, but I think we need to argue that point as often as possible. Coming up next, we'll talk a bit about the Cardinals, the NL Central, the way the National League is shaping up. My friend Mike Farron from MLB Network's radio is going to join me next up. Kevin Wheeler with you in for Chris Raby on Sports Open Line.
Welcome back to the Munganass St. Louis Honda Sports Open Line.
Munganass St. Louis Honda on South Lindbergh.
On America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
All right, Kevin Wheeler with you here on Sports Open Line. Good to be filling in for my friend Chris Raby. I was going to say he's on assignment, but he's probably having dinner right now because he was calling the Cardinals game with Kyle McClellan earlier on Cardinals.com and MLB.TV.com. So I'm happy to be with you guys. Looking forward to having a few more of these opportunities when the need arises for me to jump in and pinch hit. I'm a pretty good pinch hitter. I'm glad to do that. I've been having fun, by the way, pinch hitting on MLB Network Radio for the last handful of months. And my good friend Mike Farron was kind enough to, number one, be one of the people that helped make that happen, along with our wonderful Ben Boyd here at KMOX. And obviously, Mike is the host of Power Alley. You'll find him on Twitter at Mike_Farron. Always good to get to talk to you, buddy, because normally when I get a call to go work on MLB Network Radio, usually I have to be in for you or in for Casey Stern rather than getting to talk to you guys. So it's good to get to talk to you.
Well, it is nice that the prodigal talk show host has returned home, too. So I'm glad that you're back on the Voice of America. So
Yeah, it's a good time, man. I'll be honest. I've been walking around all afternoon, and it's all of the same people that were here when I left 6.5 years ago. And
why would you leave Camo X? Right.
You know, it's a good question. I've asked myself that a few times here today. I'm like walking around, like, I got all my friends, the familiar faces. You jump in, you just start doing things like, man, this is a natural fit. So, yeah, it's actually very exciting. I'm happy to be doing this again. And again, thanks to you. Also got that hookup at MLB Network Radio. I'm having a blast doing that too, man.
Well, I am really glad that you are part of it because, going back to when you were at KMOX before, I mean, we've done this a lot
yes.
over the years, and you are, I think, one of the best baseball hosts in the country. And the fact that we could add you to the roster with MLB Network Radio was really exciting, and everybody loves you. So you are already beloved by your coworkers there, too. So, and I'm not surprised because everybody who's listening knows how good you are. So I don't have to go blowing smoke up your backside.
I've got PayPal hooked up. The money's on your way.
Because I'm running a little low. I had to meet with my alma mater yesterday. They asked me for money so I could use that.
How's the spring treating out in Arizona? You've been doing the spring training tour stops for MLB Network Radio, so I know you've gotten around a little bit. I know you're working with the Diamondbacks, too. What's gotten your attention here the last couple of days?
Yeah, I mean, it's been great. We're a week into our camp tours now, so I'm about halfway through, I guess. Because I'm hitting, I think, all but the Royals this year. Mm-hmm. And it's been fun. I mean, I think we've been fortunate in that all of the stops that we've had to this point have been with teams that have, some hope of making the postseason in 2020. And that's been fun. And I think that as much as we've spent the last several years lamenting, the fact that there were teams that were not trying, and there are still going to be some that are not trying this year, that there are a number of teams in the National League in particular that feel like they have a chance at the postseason. And I'd say, 11 or 12, depending on how you buy the Rockies.
Right, right.
Have a really good shot, or at least can make a really good case for the playoffs or being playoff competitors. So I love that as a National League guy and somebody who covers, works for a team that is in the National League. I think that's super exciting. And I love it when we have years when there are, even though there is a clear favorite in the NL with the Dodgers.
Yes.
But there are a number of teams that feel like they have a chance.
Yeah, that's what's interesting to me is that even, like you said, even if you don't believe the Rockies are good, they are at least saying that they're trying, right? I mean, like, their owner thinks that they can win 93 games. But even if we throw them out, the Padres are clearly trying. The Giants, maybe not so much. But the Padres, the Diamondbacks, the Dodgers, the Reds, the Cubs, the Brewers, the Cardinals, the Mets, the Nationals, the Phillies, the Braves, they're all trying at one level or another. And they may fall off as it goes. But I think that's what we've really been missing in these last 3, 4, 5 years is this many teams, at least 3, if not 4 teams in every division that are at least given it a run to start the year.
Yeah, I mean, I think in the NL, I mean, I'm going to take the Marlins, the Giants, and the Pirates out of that group that's
yes.
Not trying, that's intentionally trying to lose. I mean, I don't think they're going to be very good teams, but I also don't think that they're trying to build 100-loss rosters. I mean, the Marlins were pretty active this winter in adding some bona fide major leaguers like Jesus Aguilar and Jonathan Villar, who had a really great season last year for Baltimore, and signing Corey Dickerson to a free agent contract. The Pirates traded Starling Marte, but they also are not a team that is, tearing all the way down, and they feel like there's some talent there. And while they might end up being in the 90-loss range, they're not a team that's trying actively to lose 100 games. And I think beyond that, the Giants are the same way. I mean, that ownership group has never had a stomach for a full-blown rebuild. I mean, you can go back
right.
to the late Bonds days to see that. And their farm system is building up very, very quickly. So I don't think the Giants are going to be very good this year. They aren't that far away from being contenders again, and they also have the financial largesse that a lot of those other teams that have been through the rebuild don't have. So I think it's a much more competitive league than, say, in the American League, where you have Baltimore actively not trying.
Right.
And Detroit, maybe trying a little bit harder, but still really far away from being competitive.
Yeah.
It's Seattle. Yeah, it's still a ways away. Yeah.
No, it's a good point. The bad teams there are worse than the bad teams in the NL, and there are just 100%. a couple more of them that are bad, and also I think maybe a few more powerhouses there too. So a bit more lopsided league. What do you make, Mike, of the NL Central? I've heard you and Jim Duquette and the guys on Power Alley over the course of the offseason talking about all the things that have changed, right? I mean, the Brewers seemingly trying to tread water with some players going out and trying to replace some quality with quantity moving forward. The Cubs did a lot of nothing. The Cardinals were really quiet with a couple of kind of under-the-radar ads, and the Reds were the big spenders in the offseason. How do you see this shaping up as we kind of watch spring training over the next 4 or 5 weeks?
You know, Kevin, we've been doing predictions on this half of the tour, and we've had the three NL Central teams that are in Arizona so far, and Ryan Spielberg's and I have not felt good about anything that we've tried to predict at the NL Central at this point. I mean, we're still a month away from opening. It's not even March yet, right? And we're
going
to make predictions. So I reserve the right, rarely do I reserve the right to change my mind, but I think I'm going to in this one because I kind of by default ended up with the Cardinals at the top, and I don't feel really good about that because I love the Cardinals pitching. I just don't feel great about their offense.
Right.
But there's a lot of things that I don't feel great about on these teams. You know, I don't feel great about the Cubs' depth. I think their star power is the best. I mean, if there's going to be one of those four teams that ends up running away and hiding, I think it could be them because they have more stars than everybody else. But I don't love their depth. I really am concerned about the Reds' depth, especially in the rotation. I think you can make an argument that their rotation might be better 1 through 5 even than St. Louis's. And the Reds are very good, and I think they'll be better offensively, but they're not going to be a very good defensive team. And I don't love their depth there. And Milwaukee only has depth, you know, and Christian Yelich. You know, it's one thing to try and piece together where you're going to get platoons to try and match the production of star players, and I think that that's great, but you need to have some other competent offensive pieces in the lineup, and I think they're throwing a lot of players at the problem in the hopes that they're able to solve it, and that to me is a concern. So like I there are a lot of things that I mean I love how competitive those four teams are going to be, and I really think that that division will end up being, you know, 1 through 4 will be separated by like a total of 6 games. But I have a real tough time trying to figure out who it's going to be. And as of right now, I'm leaning towards the Cardinals. But again, after their winter and as bad as they were offensively for a good chunk of last year, I just don't know that I feel great about picking that. I probably feel the same way about Cardinal fans. Like, as Cardinal fans, which is like, yeah, we really love our pitching. And like, we get some good bullpen arms, but man, do we have enough offense to get over the top? And I'm not convinced of that yet.
No, not, most people here aren't either. And for good reason, right? I mean, you know, you don't really have a cleanup hitter going into spring training. You're not sure exactly how the top of the order is going to go. The one part of the lineup that's a fixture somewhere hitting, you know, 2, 3, or 4, but probably 3 or 4 is Paul Goldschmidt, and you covered him for a long time in Arizona. It wasn't bad last year by any means, but he wasn't Paul Goldschmidt good. What do you expect from him coming off of what really was the first year of his career where he was below what he normally is?
Yeah, I mean, I think, he's such a diligent worker that I think he's going to, you know, work very hard to get back to that point. I mean, I think you can start to see probably some regression in the numbers in the aggregate over the next couple of years just because he's over the age of 30. But I do think that there is that possibility that, you know, that there is a bounce back for him this year. And I think now that he's, you know, more comfortable and settled in Jupiter, it sounds like, you know, mostly full time, and he's, you know, gotten over the adjustment that comes with being, you know, transitioning between teams. I think that there's probably some to that as well, as much as he would downplay it. So, I mean, I think, you know, I think Paul Goldschmidt is a great bounce back candidate. I mean, I think he's a guy that I would feel really good about posting a 900 OPS. He seems to have found some stuff, at least from, you know, reading what Derek Gould wrote about it, that he found some stuff maybe in his swing that he feels like he's able to get to more consistently. And if that's the case, then, you know, I think that that's the cleanup hitter. I mean, that's the guy that the offense goes through. And the question is, will they be able to create enough traffic around him that they can take full advantage of a guy who I fully expect to be back near the top of the league in terms of offensive production again.
Now, you mentioned all this group, right? I mean, like, the Dodgers are probably above everybody. I don't think the Braves are worse than last year, but I think the division's better. So I think we're seeing, like, there's the Dodgers, And then there's everybody else. So that means the Cardinals fans need to be concerned with, as you mentioned, Brewers, Cubs, Reds. We got to be concerned with the Braves, the Nationals, the Mets, the Phillies. And I think the Diamondbacks have had a hell of an offseason. I know that's the team you work for, Mike, but I think that, you know, what they did made a lot of sense. They were contending last year while also moving out players. Mm-hmm. I'm really curious to see what they can be this year. And I think they're one of the teams in the National League that all of the other teams in the East and the Central should be paying attention to.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think they've got a chance to be a very good team. I mean, I think the Bumgarner addition is going to help them, even if he's not at the peak levels of Bumgarner.
Right.
It gives them somebody that they can, you know.
Do you mean Mason Saunders?
Yeah, Mason Saunders. here's hoping, as a Diamondback employee, that he last knows a couple of wins over the course of the season. I think Bumgarner is going to be a great sounding board for a lot of the young pitching that they have. I mean, I think Zach Gallen is the guy who I think is really interesting. I mean, he was what the kind of the third player in the deal between the Cardinals and the Marlins that sent Marcelo Zuna to St. Louis, and Gallen has really emerged. I mean, the Diamondbacks traded a very good prospect in Jazz Chisholm to be able to acquire him last year. And Gallen, I think, has a chance to be their best pitcher. And they're deeper offensively, the Starling Marte trade. I mean, you've seen Marte a lot. This mm-hmm. guy's I don't think he's ever received the credit he should get for being as good a player as he is. I think that they're a dangerous team. But I also think that, you know, you mentioned those teams in the East and obviously the teams in the Central. And, like, San Diego's a little scary.
Yeah.
I mean, Tommy Pham has a chance to change the culture of that team. He has saw what he did in St. Louis.
I was the vice president of the Tommy Pham fan club when he was here.
I mean, like, I cannot believe Tampa Bay traded him. And I'm some friends over there and was going after them at the winter meetings going, what are you doing? And that's because you're going into the division. But because, like, that to me was their best offensive piece. I know Austin Meadows had a good year, but he was hurt for a little bit of it. I mean, Pham is a really dynamic offensive player, mm-hmm. and he demands that his teammates compete, and that's something that the Padres desperately needed. And so they have some questions in the rotation with depth, and they have some questions in the second half of their lineup for sure, but I think that's a dangerous team as well. And that's now we've managed to talk ourselves into 11 teams,
right?
Pretty easily. And, you know, I think really it's probably more like 10. I don't think that Philadelphia is going to be one of those teams that's in the mix in the end. But still, it's, you know, 10 teams for five spots. Well, really for 9 teams for 4 spots, because the Dodgers are probably going to win the West going away.
No, that's a really good point. Well, Mike, I know from talking scheduling, you're not in on Power Alley tomorrow. I was originally going to be you tomorrow, but I'm going to be Casey Stern instead tomorrow on Inside Pitch. I think it's JP and – oh, I forgot who else is going to be there. Oh, it's JP and JB. JP and JB, yeah. And then I'll be with Jeff Joyce tomorrow afternoon. So looking forward to that. I'm also looking forward to your return on the Power Alley and your next spring training report as well. Keep up the great work, man. Enjoy Arizona. And we'll look forward to talking again here soon, man. Hopefully, again, on the air at the same time.
Anytime, Wheels. It's great to talk to you.
All right. Thank you, Mike. I appreciate it, man. That's Mike Farron, MLB Network Radio, and, of course, a part of the Diamondbacks broadcast team, too. You can follow him on Twitter. He's a great baseball guy, @Mike_Farron. All right. Stick around, man. We got a whole lot more to do. We're taking you up till top of the hour at 8 o'clock. Kevin Wheeler in for Chris Raby here on Sports Open Line.
Welcome back to the Munganass St. Louis Honda Sports Open Line.
Munganass pre-owned on South Limburg.
On America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
Man, so good to be with you guys here on KMOX. Kevin Wheeler in for Chris Raby. My man Rabes is on assignment tonight down in Jupiter. Actually, he had a game on the road today calling the game with Kyle McClellan. And needed a pinch hitter. I feel like, you know what? I can be a pretty good pinch hitter. If you throw me a fastball, I probably can hit it. As long as it's not, you know, like ridiculous. Like, we're not talking triple digits and stuff along those lines. But I feel like I can pinch hit a little bit. So it's great to be back on KMOX, even just to be the guy that steps in when needed. And that's what I am. And I'm really having a good time with this tonight. We'll take you up till 8 o'clock. So much more to get to in terms of the world of baseball. Really enjoy the conversation with Mike Farron there kicking around the National League. And just how competitive it is. And I think, you know, that's both exciting and scary, right? It can be a little bit nerve-wracking when you go that route. So, you know, we'll all be continuing the whole process of, you know, evaluating how the season goes and all of that. So we'll get back to a little baseball to close out the hour here coming up at the top. Right now, I'm really happy to have Michael Rappaport with us, of course, actor and stand-up comic. He's going to be at Helium this weekend. So you can find out more about Helium at Helium Comedy STL. If you go to Michael's Twitter handle, at Michael Rappaport, which makes it really easy, you can find the link to MichaelRappaportComedy.com, where you can get tickets and find out about the tour dates. You can get to the podcast, which, by the way, Michael, is a hell of a lot of fun, man. The I Am Rappaport Stereo podcast. You hooked me in, I believe it was last night, maybe yesterday during the day, with the whole thing about guys shooting from the logo in the NBA. You got me in.
Oh, cool.
Had a good time with that, man. I appreciate you spending some time with us. How you doing, man?
I appreciate it. I appreciate it. I'm excited about performing in St. Louis Sunday night. It's my first time ever in St. Louis, so I'm excited about performing for the people. I got two shows and one night at the Helium Comedy Club in St. Louis, but I appreciate you having me on, man.
Oh, glad to do it, man. The folks at Helium are great, and you know, throughout the years on the radio shows I've done, I've always tried to get the people coming into town onto the show and have a little fun. And it's always a little more fun, man, when I know the people that we're talking to are also sports fans. Like, they always, you know, being a sports guy, I was talking earlier about how, like, famous people that are sports fans love talking sports, and sports guys who like movies and comedy like talking to the famous people that like sports. That's kind of this fun combo, man. I appreciate that about you, because you keep it real with that on the podcast. And I don't know if that creeps into the stand-up routine, but certainly I know it's a big part of your life to talk hoops and get into what's going on with your favorite teams.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, I definitely talk about it in stand-up. You know, I talk about some sports. I talk about my life. I talk about politics a little bit, dipping in that. I talk about, you know, being a parent, being divorced, all that stuff. And like I said, I'm excited about performing Sunday. Where are you guys at with sports right now? What's going on out there? Like, what's your head on? What is your head focused on these days?
So we got two things right now, Michael. We've got a defending Stanley Cup champion in the Blues.
Yep.
That's best team in the West right now. So they're, you know, we're all thinking about the possibility of another big playoff run. So that's got our attention. But I mean, we're like, you know, we're right now here on KMOX. We're the home of the Cardinals. So we're like watching all of the rookies and how they're doing in spring training games early on and nerding out about all that. So we basically have like the dual focus. But I'll tell you what else has been huge here. It's been the XFL. Like, the St. Louis team and the XFL, they sold the place out this past weekend for their home opener. People are jacked up about that.
Wow.
Have you checked it out at all?
I understand. I've checked it out. I mean, you guys, I hated you guys losing a football team. You know, growing up, the St. Louis Cardinals were such a part of the NFL for me. You know, I'm 1970. I was born 1970, so in the 70s and the 80s. And I don't remember the year they left, but I thought that was terrible that they left St. Louis. I thought it was just not fair, and they, you know, I feel like you guys deserve a football team. I know it's a sports city, it's a sports town, but I know that still has to sting. And I'm glad they're supporting the XFL. It's a great sports town.
Yeah, you want to make people mad on Sunday? Bring up Stan Kroenke's name. If you want to get an easy laugh, make a joke at his expense. Make fun of his toupee or something, because you get an easy laugh right then and there. Boom, right off the top.
There we go. Good. I'm going to add that to the act for Sunday night at Helium.
You know what's cool is one thing I think draws me to you, Michael, especially the podcast stuff, is you mentioned your age. I'm the same thing. I was born in 71. So we kind of see the world a lot in a lot of the same ways, especially coming up in the same way from sports. That's why I really kind of kick out of the take on the way the NBA is now, because you and I share this. And I was just talking during the break how I've seen so many different ways of the NBA was, you know, kind of running right back in the day in our time, like late 70s, early 80s, all through the 80s. It's like Lake Show, and it's the Celtics, and it's big, you know, it's fast paced, high scoring. And then your guys, the Knicks, and my guys, the Pistons, we kind of ruined all that by trying to beat the crap out of Michael Jordan in the 90s.
Mm-hmm.
And we became kind of football on the hardwood. But now we're kind of back to the fun stuff.
Yeah, it is a lot of fun. It is a lot of fun. I, you know, the shooting, you know, I was talking about that the other day, the logo, you know, who's shooting from the logo. Steph, you know, he changed the whole thing. But now, like, Damian Lillard and Trae Young, and, I mean, it's, you know, my instinct is still when you see people pull up from so far to be like, what are you doing? Like, that, it's like a crazy shot. But, you know, it's the evolution of man. It's the evolution of the athlete. You know, it's just like the jumping. You know, it's just like the running and the dunks and stuff. If you look at, you know, what Dr. J and those guys were doing in the 80s, you know, these guys have taken it to a whole other, another level with the dunking. Same thing with the shooting. The only thing that I don't like about it, I feel like the defense, because there's no hand checking, and I don't think you should necessarily allow hand check, but I feel like the defense until the playoffs is at such a disadvantage.
Yeah.
That's why you're seeing guys get, you know, shaken down to the floor, you know, almost every night,
yeah,
because they have nothing to hold on to. You know, it's like literally like, do they say they're on ice skates? They are on ice skates. They can't touch. If you touch them, the person with the ball, a foul gets called. So I think it's great, but I just wish that, you know, you know, like you could reward good defense a little bit more to split the difference. But the NBA is in great shape. There's so many exciting players, so many young players. You know, like I mentioned, the Trae Young and the Lucas.
Yeah, yeah.
And you know, Zion, I think is gonna live up to his expectations when he gets a couple of years underneath him. And you know, and obviously the guys like the James Hardens and the Russell Westbrooks and the Stephs and the LeBrons. I mean, the NBA is and always will be fantastic. You know, that's my first love. NFL second. I'm excited for, you know, the playoffs are going to be here. You know, spring is going to come soon,
yeah,
and the playoffs are going to be here.
You know, I'll tell you what, man, it's funny, but I think there's, you know, a parallel between the way the NBA's gone and the way the NFL's gone, right? I mean, offense sells. Offense gets people excited, and, you know, all the rule changes in recent years, anything that's really been done to adjust the game has been in favor of offense.
Yeah, I agree. And again, you know, I mean, the NFL is different because, you know, I think a lot of it is about player safety. You know, some of it is, it makes it where you can't touch them, you know, not even talking about the headshots and stuff
right.
I just feel like you got to – defense should not be something that should be mocked when you get shake to the floor. That shouldn't be something like where it's – you know, you should be rewarded playing hard defense, and I think the same for the NFL. Like, I think they have to find – a middle ground where the defenders, you know, are able to do something to stop these guys, because the athletes are so good, so fast, so explosive, and the technology and what they're learning in the film, it's a new era from, you know, when I first started watching sports. But it's good, though. I'm excited about it.
Michael Rappaport with us. He's at Helium on Sunday. Got two shows, 7 and 9:30. So if you go to michaelrappaportcomedy.com, you can get tickets there for both of the shows for Sunday. And obviously, if you go to his website, iamrappaport.com, if you go there, you can get to the great podcast. You have a good – I mean, I really enjoyed it. Looking forward to following along as you do it, the I Am Rappaport Stereo podcast. Now, tell me about the tour. Tell me about how this is going. I mean, when's the last time you went on the road like this and just did shows in clubs and had fun with it?
It's going good. You know, this is the first time that I've been on tour. You know, I started last year, and then I took a little break, and then I've been back up the last few weeks. I was in Tampa Bay. I'm in Chicago Saturday. I'm flying, you know, Sunday morning to perform the two shows in St. Louis. I really like it. I like getting to see the country. You know, I'm getting to see places I've never been, you know, get to spend a little time with the people and, you know, go to restaurants, and I try to like enjoy each city as I'm there, and it's a lot of fun. You know, the shows have been great, the crowds have been great, and I'm expecting two great shows Sunday at Helium.
Yeah, it's a great spot, man. Been out there a million times and really enjoy it. So like you did some of that when you were young, right? Like you hit a little bit of that,
yep,
when you're a younger guy before the whole acting thing hit. Is it the same as it was then, or is it a little different because now you're not a young kid trying to break in? Now you're Michael Rappaport, right? The guy that's been in movies and TV shows and we all follow on Twitter.
Yep. Yeah, it's definitely, you know, it's different. You know, I'm definitely more confident, more experienced. Obviously, with age, you have a lot more to talk about as far as, you know, making the show personal. And you know, the crowds have been great, you know, and definitely I appreciate, you know, the love and the respect and the enthusiasm for what I've been able to accomplish in my career. And, you know, I'm excited about, you know, the tour and I'm really, like I said, you know, I've always had a soft spot for St. Louis and the Cardinals and my man, OJ Anderson.
Yeah.
And, you know, he came to the Giants at one point. So, you know, I'm excited to perform at St. Louis Sunday night.
Man, have a blast Sunday night. I appreciate you jumping on and talking to us a little bit, man. Good luck to the Knicks in a rebuild. I know what it's like. I'm a Lions fan, man. I've been doing this my whole life. It's never easy. So I feel the pain, man. Keep up the great work on the podcast too, man. I appreciate you doing this.
I appreciate you having me, and thank you. Thank you.
You got it, man. That's Michael Rappaport. So, again, at Helium on Sunday, 7 o'clock and 9:30. If you want to go to find tickets to it, you can go to at Helium Comedy STL. If you just go to Michael's website, it's michaelrappaportcomedy.com. He's got links to tickets there, too, so it's nice and easy. And I do recommend the podcast. Mike can be a little raw sometimes, so you know that. You always got to be, especially live on the radio, always be careful. But he's a good dude. I've enjoyed his comedy for years. He's great on social media, too. If you find him on Twitter, at Michael Rappaport. Good talking a little basketball with the guy, too. All right, let's come back and wrap it up with a little more baseball talk. We'll get you set for what's coming up later on in the week as far as spring training is concerned. A couple other baseball thoughts for you here as we wrap up Sports Open Line. Kevin Wheeler in for Chris Raby here on KMOX.
Welcome back to the Munganass St. Louis Honda Sports Open Line.
Munganass St. Louis Honda on South Lindbergh.
On America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
All right, final few thoughts before we run out of time here on Sports Open Line. Good to be with you, Kevin Wheeler, in for my man, Chris Raby. I believe Raby's back tomorrow night. I believe. I didn't check. Fail on Wheeler. Not the first time. Won't be the last time. But I know that they'll be on the call for the Cardinals game tomorrow. If you go to Cardinals.com or MLB.tv, you can get the broadcast with Chris Raby and Kyle McClellan calling the game with the Cardinals taking on the Mets tomorrow in Port St. Lucie, which is a little bit closer to Jupiter than where they were for the Braves today. I think the Braves, they used to be Orlando, and I can't remember exactly where they are right now. It's like near Venice, Florida, and I can't remember. I think that's in the Orlando area. Regardless, it was a little further away, so that's why you guys had to put up with me for a couple of hours today. But I've had a blast so far. I appreciate you guys tuning in here on KMOX, home of the Cardinals. And I did want to close out with just a couple quick thoughts on the starting rotation. Because, look, one of the things that you're following, I mentioned when we talked about the young outfielders and the competitions in left field in particular, but also, the fact that Harrison Bader's still going to have to compete to play and be the starter in center. He can't just be bad and play. We talked about that a little earlier, and I didn't get a chance to get into the rotation just yet. But, we had the bad news early on in spring with Miles Mikolas being shut down. And it's not terrible news at this point, right? At this stage, it's kind of a late start to the season is the way that it's being framed. But there's always the concern that that kind of thing can either have a setback and you push that start time a little bit further back, or maybe you come back and then later on in the season it shows back up. Any arm problem for a starting pitcher early in spring is going to be worthy of a concern, right? When you tack that on top of, Adam Wainwright being 38, nothing against him, man. You talk about a guy that proved me wrong last year. I didn't expect him to even finish the year, and he had a really solid year with most of the great work happening at Busch Stadium and quite a few struggles on the road, but still, overall, the product was way better than I anticipated would be, so tip of the cap to Waino for that. But at any time a pitcher's 38, you're going to have the questions about where that goes. We still have the question about where's Carlos Martinez fit? Is he going to fit in the bullpen? Does the shoulder hold up through spring? Because they could really use him in the rotation now. The good news is, they have that depth that we've talked about, but just the same as we've discussed with the middle of the order, after you get past Jack Flaherty, now that Mikolas is hurt, who's an automatic yes in the rotation? I mean, Flaherty's a yes. He's a capital Y, capital E, capital S, exclamation point, exclamation point, exclamation point. He's as good as it gets right now in the National League outside of, Max Scherzer? I mean, even that might not be that big of a difference this year. He's in the conversation as one of the five or six best starting pitchers in the game. After that, I think you still have to ask, is it really sure? I mean, Mikolas, it's just the arm problem now. Other than that, I felt like we knew what we were going to get. Waino, it's just the age. Hudson, it's some of the peripheral numbers from last year. There are people expecting a little bit of a regression, a little bit of a regression from him. I'm not necessarily one of those people. I think that there were adjustments made by Dakota Hudson as the season went along, so I'm a little bit more optimistic about him than some of the projections are. But that doesn't mean I'm right. First of all, I've been wrong about those things before. So I think it's makes it more interesting. But if you kind of look at some of the StatCast data, there are some things there, the underlying, that make you wonder. Like, You know, he's obviously low on the strikeout percentage. He's in the bottom 15, 16%. He was in the bottom 30% in exit velocity against him and hard hit rate against him. So there are some concerns there. I think he's going to make the requisite adjustments, but there are some concerns there. And as you walk down the list, I mean, we saw Alex Reyes the other day. Nice to see him looking healthy, but we can see he's still rusty, and the command is going to leave us asking questions. You know, it was also nice to see, by the way, KK and Genesis Cabrera look good the other day, too. So, I mean, again, you've got plenty of guys that can be the people that can step up. But how many yes answers do you have now? And that's the interesting, fun, scary part. Now, with the pitching side, there are a lot more guys that are closer to a yes. Like, I think Hudson's really close to a yes. But you have the question with health, with Michaelis, the age with Wainwright. And the fifth spot was already a question because we're not sure if Carlos' shoulder will hold up. And if it does, well, that's a hell of a lot more than a yes than a no, right? I mean, if his shoulder's going to hold up, Carlos has always been a really good starting pitcher. And worst case, if he's able to, like, hold up and give you 160, 170 innings, worst case is he'll be a solid middle-of-the-rotation guy, right? That's the worst. I don't see him being a terrible starter unless the physical problems pop back up. For a team that needs the starting pitching to be good, the Michaelis thing was a little bit scary. Hopefully it'll be okay. And they do have guys that I like. I'm a big fan of Austin Gomber. I don't think he's an elite prospect. I don't think he's a future 1, 2, or 3. But I do think he's a future major league starting pitcher. So if his shoulder holds up, there again, there's another if, right? Aren't you tired of saying if? Here's what I want. I want to get to May and June and have answers to some of these questions rather than saying if, but I can't speed things up. We can only talk about what we have at the moment. It's been a good time, man. I appreciate everybody tuning in to Sports Open Line. It's always a pleasure to fill in for my buddy Chris Raby. Many thanks to Mike Claiborne for jumping in and joining me earlier. Again, thanks to my buddy Mike Farron. Michael Rappaport was great in the last segment. What a great guy. You guys can see him at Helium this weekend if you want to have a good time on a Sunday night. But overall, thank you for tuning in. It's been a hell of a lot of fun. Kevin Wheeler signing off here on Sports Open Line on KMOX.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.